At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I am here with Matt Stevens, the Illini guys beat reporter, who is covering the Illini football program and also helps out with the basketball program. We have Steve Sturm, who is the Illini guys football analyst, and we are sitting here and we are talking about the huge news that was made here on Saturday morning. Matt, why don't you give people what you got the scoop on and tell us what happened and what we're all excited about right now?
Well, I was told on the same night that I was able to confirm that Tony Peterson was being let go after one season at Illinois, that Brett Bielema had zeroed in on his offensive coordinator candidate. And it was – Mike, we talked about it on a previous podcast. Yep. It's one name right now, and it has to go supremely wrong at this point for the list to get longer than one name. It never went supremely wrong. This went correct the entire way, and the train stayed on the tracks, and Barry Lunny Jr. now is the new offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at the University of Illinois.
See, and that is so different when we have a football coach who keeps the train on the track. It doesn't go supremely wrong. He has a plan and he executes it. Steve, is this pretty strange to be a fan of a program that works this way?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about how this is big boy football, and I think Matt used that term first, and he's absolutely right. I was so surprised. You could have knocked me over with a feather when this happened. And I realized that Josh Whitman has brought a whole different attitude and set of strategies to the DIA. And Brett Bielema is definitely used to playing some big boy football as well in his past, and especially during his time in the SEC. And this is something that would have been unheard of in past generations. I mean, if you can even remember back to when Ron Zook hired two new coordinators at the AD's behest, that was a month-long tragedy and a saga that went, you know, round and round and up and down. And finally, we got Paul Petrino. And that was, you know, of course, that was pulling teeth. Now, just out of nowhere, Tony Peterson does what Brett Bielema considers to be not quite a good enough job, and we've got Barry Lunny just like that. It's a whole new world here at in Illini Nation.
I would add Mike and Steve that you guys are old enough. Again, it's wonderful to work at Illini guys at 37 and be the baby of the group. but I'm you guys are old enough to remember still like how hard it is for Illinois Athletics to agree to pay people not to work. Well, yeah. Tony Peterson's being paid, you know, to not work. And there was a guaranteed contract that is being paid off, let's just say, by what I like to call FOP, friends of the program, so that Tony can move on and take another job. And he has 30 years of a resume that can prove that he can work somewhere. And he has worked at other places. It's just the fit at Illinois didn't work. And Bielema knew the fit at Illinois wasn't going to work, and he wasn't going to double down on another season, which is actually kind of critical, the 2022 season, on something that's just not working. And I think Illinois fans can feel really, really good about this philosophy that Bielema had when he came to Champaign, that I'm going to hire two coordinators I've never worked with because I don't want my bias to seep into what their job is going to be and what our offense and defense are going to be at Illinois. He went one for two, because I think Ryan Walters hire has been knocked out of the park. And then you go through that defensive staff, everybody's been knocked out of the park on that one. The Tony Peterson fit just didn't work because it just wasn't producing results. He couldn't get maximum or minimum production out of the pass game that Illinois wanted and that Bielema wanted to play complementary football. And so Brett's now decided I'm going to go with a more familiar choice than Barry Lunny Jr. to get that production out of a similar based offense that I know can work, because Barry and I have seen it work at the University of Arkansas in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah. And it goes back to when I saw the hiring of this staff, the original hiring by Coach Bielema, you had a time that everybody was talking about, this is the best staff since John Makovic had back in, you know, the early 90s, or even going back to Mike White in the mid to late 80s. And so when I hear that, I was like, holy cow, this is a new age, because you had Brad Underwood doing what he does, you know, just becoming a in-conference machine. And for the first time, you know, I'm 54, so yes, I'm a little older than 37. But for the first time, or the second time in my life, I feel like there's a balance in talent between what's going on in the State Farm Center and what's going on at Memorial Stadium. And I only could say that when you had Lou Henson and Mike White, and then you had Lou Henson and John Makovic, and the rest of the time, I guess I really can't say that, because the John Gross, Tim Beckman era, there was no talent anywhere. But basically, now we're back in an era where you've got Brad Underwood, who is going to do whatever he needs to do to win and make good decisions and, you know, land players and coach the heck out of them and demand results. Now we got Brett Bielema doing the same thing. So it's really good to see that going on. So let's zoom in on Lunny, and let's talk a little bit about Matt, what attracts you to his resume, and what makes you think we've got a offensive coordinator that is a formidable force on the sidelines?
Guys, from a resume standpoint, he reminds me of like a bargain-based Walmart version of Gus Malzahn, a guy that cut his teeth in high school football in the state of Arkansas. And quite frankly, I've actually, you know, spoken to Gus earlier this week via text, and they know each other. The Lunny family and the Malzahns know each other very, very well. His father is a high school legend in Arkansas high school football, cut his teeth at Bentonville and at Southside High School, and won a lot of state championships, was able to get his dream job at Arkansas as a tight end coach and a recruiting coordinator, was able to be retained by Brett Bielema when Brett Bielema took over for Bobby Petrino. I'm sorry, I have that wrong. He actually got hired by Brett Bielema because Brett needed an Arkansas tie, especially in recruiting, and a Texas tie in Arkansas recruiting. In Razorback recruiting, and Barry was the perfect choice because he would have crawled over broken glass to get to Fayetteville and at some point. And that partnership worked out great. Then Brett Bielema gets fired, and guess what? Chad Morris retains Barry Lunny Jr. because of his ties to the state, because of his ties in recruiting, and because of his ability to just work with the tight end position so well. There was no reason for, and I'm sure because Chad has a lot of connections with Gus Malzahn as well, I'm sure Gus told him, hey, you better keep Barry in there if you can, because that'll go over really well in state. But that whole situation, I'm here to tell you, and I think I've said this on a previous pod, if Brett Bielema hadn't had the philosophy of, you know, I'm going to hire somebody I've never worked with before, if he'd have gone away from that when he hired his offensive coordinator, I believe Barry Lunny Jr. would have been a perfect hire for him immediately to bring him in and into Champaign. It did not shock me that that name popped up immediately as I was starting to make phone calls during the whole Tony Peterson confirmation, who's going to be the next guy type of deal on Tuesday night. I was not surprised by that name, and I actually think it makes a lot of sense.
So, Steve, you do a lot of film watching and analyzing with the Trench Report. You had to break down and take a look at the UTSA game. You got to watch the film of of 497 yards and 37 points going up against the Illini. I'm not saying that he's going to run that offense here in Champaign, but what struck you about him as an offensive coordinator when you were watching those films?
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, I watched a whole lot of UTSA film both before the game that we played, just because I was kind of interested to familiarize myself and see what we were going to be in for. And then, of course, I rewatched that game a couple of times afterwards for writing the trench report. And the thing that you need to keep in mind about Barry Lunney is that he isn't actually the, air raid type of guy that Illinois fans seem to hope that he is, just from looking at our message board. He was right down the line as far as running and passing. He features a running attack that uses tight ends a lot, power running, running between the tackles. But then, of course, his passing, the difference, and I'm sure that this is part of the reason that he's our offensive coordinator now, is the difference is in the passing game. He has guys running wide open patterns down the field a heck of a lot more than Tony Peterson did. He's going to be stretching the field both vertically and horizontally a lot more than Tony Peterson did. And I think that we're going to see, I was interested to know, the first thing I looked at, and if you read my trench reports, then you'll know this is true. I was dismayed that Tony Peterson just seemed adverse to running any sort of a trick play or any sort of a wrinkle early on in the season. And then all of a sudden he ran at least a few trick plays toward the end of the year. Well, the first thing I looked at is to see whether Barry Lunney does that. And in fact, he does. There were several wide receiver and running back passes. Frank Harris caught three passes this year. He likes to open things up. He likes to test the defense. He's a lot more creative. The one thing I will say, and Illinois fans are going to look at this resume and go like, well, we've got assistants, assistant coordinators in Kevin Kane and George McDonald, who have, high major co-offensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, resumes. And Barry Lunney's got 2 years at UTSA as an offensive coordinator. What is this really a guy that we want running things when we've got George McDonald looking over his shoulder, who's probably done more and done a lot very successfully. So, but I'm still very happy with this hire. I think that Barry Lunney's going to bring a whole lot to the table.
Yeah. And I will throw out there one thing. George McDonald is the type of guy who looks like his next move could potentially be a head coaching position. And for him to be kind of overseeing some things on offense, and even Matt has talked about maybe even doing a little bit on defense, really sets Coach McDonald up for that next role. Really, to me, it kind of looks like you've got Coach Bielema, who is not only looking to win games, but he's also looking to develop his staff. And when you're recruiting to get coaches to come and work for you, that has to be a huge benefit when a coach is trying to decide where to come for the next step in his career. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
The easy way to say it is, if Brett Bielema had his druthers about it, George McDonald and Barry Lunney Jr. would have been on his first year staff at Arkansas, because he hired Gio at Arkansas. And 2 weeks later, Scott Schaefer over at Syracuse says, why don't you come over here and be my play caller? Like, at Syracuse, my offensive play caller. And that's why that didn't work out. Like, it's why when Bielema says that Gio left him at the altar, that's what he's talking about. But Barry was his first hire at Arkansas, and like, Gio was about his second or third. I mean, okay, if he had his druthers about it, they would have been together already. There's already a relationship there. I think they'll work out fine together. And I think George would be the first one to tell you that his play calling experience at Syracuse didn't work out all that well. And it wasn't a fruitful experience. It was a much better experience, again, when he could kind of have a overall big blend view that he had at NC State, now that he has at Illinois, than him as a specific play caller. And I think that Barry Lunney is going to have an opportunity to run that, 2015, 2016 Arkansas offense that Bielema and Dan Enos ran at Arkansas when Dan Enos came.
Yeah. So let's assume here that people don't have your SEC background. Sure. So when you say that 2015, 2016 Arkansas offense, what can Illini fans look for out of that offense that next fall when they come out on the field?
Quarterback's going to be under center. quite frankly, because everybody in Tommy DeVito's camp has told me we didn't come here to run the spread. We're done with that. Let's just be honest. I'm just going to be honest, tell you what I've told, what I've been told. I loved that offense in 2015, 2016. It won eight and nine games those 2 years with Arkansas because it was a quarterback that was under center. It was a power running game. It was a two tight end set. Granted, they had two NFL tight ends in Hunter Henry and Jeremy Sprinkle, but they used them so well down the middle of the field that it really opened up the perimeter for guys to be able to be able to be one-on-one with a corner because the safeties had to basically focus on the two NFL guys that were going to run down the middle of the field. If you're Luke Ford, and I know this for a fact, I know this for a fact after talking with certain people today, Luke Ford is thrilled about this next offense that's coming in with Barry Lenny Jr. and what they're going to do with the tight ends, or at least try to.
And rumor is Daniel Barker's a little excited about it, maybe.
I've been told that there's a contemplation of Daniel Barker coming back to college football. Don't know if that'll be at Champaign, but I think it'll be a contemplation. And if he comes back to college football, I think it'll be a deal that, you know, where Brett had to re-recruit some Illinois guys back, like Owen Kearney Jr. And I think he'll have to do that with Daniel Barker. But if you're Luke Ford, I know Luke Ford right now is thrilled to death about this offense that he's about to learn and with Barry Lenny. It's not going to be that big of a deal. What I loved about it was that there was a lot of play action pass. There was a lot of bootlegs. There were a lot of easier throws that were being able to be made with the Austin brothers, Brandon and Austin. Brandon, of which I think is going to start Sunday for the Bengals, or at least play Sunday for the Bengals with Joe Burrow being out. So there was a lot of talent there, but it was an NFL style, pro style, West Coast style offense that I don't think the personnel and the formations are going to change all that much. I just think there's going to be a more of a execution based type. Let's make the life a little bit easier for the quarterback, knowing that the offensive line still has a little bit of shakiness to it from an experience standpoint coming back in 2022. They did a lot of things to help out the quarterback, get him out on the perimeter, roll him out, change the pocket a little bit, but still make throws that aren't, you know, RPO, flat-footed throws.
Yep.
You saw that out of Arkansas, and you saw them win a lot of games in a major conference by doing that and score some points doing that and play complementary football to the defense and to the running game that I still think is going to be a primary objective for Brett Bielema and this offense going forward, especially when you bring back Chase Brown and Josh McCray.
Okay. Steve, you know, you have some familiarity with that offense as well, and I know you've talked highly of it. Do you think we're going to our contingent of fans who want to see Isaiah Williams used a little more, we going to see – is there any sign of hope for him in what you saw that offense run?
Oh, gosh. That would be just pure guesswork on my part as far as Isaiah Williams, just because – Arkansas didn't have a player like that when Barry Lenny was there, and UTSA didn't have a player like that either. So I imagine that, you know, we're guessing, making educated guesses here, that Barry Lenny was brought in to bring just a little bit more pizzazz, a little bit more spark to this offense. I think that's true. I think Matt has said that as well. I mean, not a lot. We're not talking about going back to, you know, the old run and shoot or anything like that, but right. I think there is going to be a little bit more spark there. And given that, I imagine we're going to see Isaiah Williams used creatively. But, you know, like I said, I would be pure guesswork as to whether we're going to see, you know, packages with him or, you know, more option passes or something like that. I will say that, you know, to Matt's point about the Arkansas offense, I do feel like Brett Bielema is going to get a little bit back toward that. I think Matt's got a good point there. I will say the first thing I looked at when Matt kind of broke the news that Barry Lenny was probably the guy was I went to see what UTSA looked like before and after him. And it looks to me like they really changed radically between 2019 and 2020 when he came on board as the OC at UTSA. So that tells me that the 2020 and 2021 UTSA is more of what he likes to run. And of course, you don't know if Coach Traylor had something to do with that as well. But I think we're going to see, and it's not a whole lot different, still heavy use of the tight ends, still, you know, very balanced attack. But I think we're going to see a lot of UTSA's, let's say a lot of that UTSA flavor based off of that old Arkansas style, if that makes any sense.
Yep. No, that's good news. I mean, look, there's a lot at stake here, folks. Bottom line is these changes were made because the Illini didn't have an opportunity to go to a bowl when they probably should have. That's a loss of significant revenue to the athletic department. The football team didn't get 15 practices. So let me put that into perspective for fans out there. If you're a player who plays 4 years at Ohio State or Iowa or Michigan, you will end up getting 60 practices that the Illinois players haven't gotten because they didn't make it to a bowl. And Coach Bielema goes to bowls on a yearly basis. That's pretty much what he did at Wisconsin. So he understands the value of developing a roster and a team with 15 extra practices every year. And so there's a lot at stake here from a revenue standpoint. There's a lot at stake here making a bowl game from a long-term development of your team and success of your team standpoint. Seems to me this is the response to, you know, if you have results that you draw up on a plan, you don't hit them, you have to figure out what intervention you are going to make sure that those results are hit next year. Matt?
When Paul Chryst left Brett to take the head coaching job at Pitt, Brett went searching for an offensive coordinator during his time at Wisconsin, and he ended up having a smorgasbord of offensive coordinators. I fully expected this to kind of be the same thing at Illinois. Like, it sounds harsh, but if I don't see this going in the right direction, Brett Bielema's perspective to me has always been, if I don't see this going in the right direction, I'm not going to like sit here and hope that it'll just flip because I want it to. I'm not going to let the hope be the father of the thought here. I need to make a change. I need to make a change. I go to the old Florida used to have an AD named Jeremy Foley, and he was big on, if I think I need to make a move, the minute I need to make a move, I have to do it because I'm never going to get back to the mindset of, oh, everything's okay again. Like, that's never going to happen. And that's why Florida always had a quick trigger with its head coaches. Brett Bielema kind of has that mentality. And I do think, here's what's interesting, is that I do think he feels like Lenny can actually coexist with everybody else that they have on offense. That's the weird part about this. I think he has supreme trust in Bart Miller as an offensive line coach. We know he has supreme trust in Gio as a wide receiver coach and assistant head coach, because when Brett had COVID, Gio ran the show. Like, right? So, I mean, he was the guy that was going to be coordinating everything while Brett's sitting in an isolation room somewhere in Champaign-Urbana, and Illinois playing in Iowa City. They really like what Corey Patterson's been able to do in the running back room, kind of keeping everybody happy and keeping when everybody hasn't been healthy. So I think that Barry comes in and just kind of trying to incorporate everything in this. I think the one thing that you're going to see that's different, and I don't think it's formationally, but you have the element of, with Josh McCray and especially with Chase Brown, using the running backs in the pass game, which Tony Peterson just flat out never did. And you can use screens and all these types of things in the pass game that Tony Peterson just never did. And I think the screen game is going to be really, really interesting with Barry if they run the offense that I think they're going to run. I think the backside bootlegs that they're going to run, because you have to honor the run game, obviously, and then maybe hit the tight end or hit a short wide receiver on those types of throws. Those are the things that I think you're going to be able to see so that Illinois can keep moving the chains and play complementary football.
Perfect. Perfect. So let's kind of wrap this up a little bit, Steve. What are your final thoughts here on this hire? And then we'll throw it over to Matt, and then I'll kind of close it out for everybody.
Something we haven't touched on yet. Well, I guess Matt maybe mentioned it, is that Barry Lunny is also a recruiter, and Tony Peterson has a long and storied history. He's been successful, not hugely successful, but he's generally been good as he's traveled around the country as an offensive coordinator, but he's never been known as a recruiter. But Barry Lunny's a recruiter. He not only has ties in Arkansas, which is, you know, not too far from Champaign. We can draw some players from there. So that's going to be useful. I'd also like to point out that he's been very successful as a quarterback's coach in the past, which is also something you can't necessarily say about Tony Peterson. So, you know, he was the quarterback's coach at Arkansas and did a good job there before he became the tight ends coach. And he also he has, you know, his playing career was as a quarterback as well. And I think he really made a huge difference in Frank Harris's career as the quarterback at UTSA as well. Frank Harris was not the quarterback when Barry Lunny took the job in 2020. They had a senior who had been the starter the year before. And Frank Harris just improved by leaps and bounds in 2020 and then again in 2021. And I think a lot of that has to do with Barry Lunny. The one thing that's on the downside of that is that Tony Peterson also had a very distinct type of quarterback that he'd had. And Donovan Leary is that type. And I don't know for sure that Donovan Leary is the fit that goes with Barry Lunny. We'll have to see. So I'm worried about that, but you know, I worry about
all. What makes you say that? What are you seeing in Donovan Leary that you might not, you think might not be a perfect fit, just out of curiosity?
Okay. Efficiency and accuracy. And that's Frank Harris. I looked even at his high school times, and he has always been an accurate quarterback. We saw last year in Champaign, he's accurate. You can look at his numbers, he's accurate. Even on longer passes, Donovan Leary has a huge arm and he's a pretty good athlete, but he's not nearly the athlete that Frank Harris is. And, you know, it looked to me like, you know, of course we brought in Art Sitkowski and then Donovan Leary while Tony Peterson was the offensive coordinator, and those two fit, those two match. And then of course, DeLeo's more of an athlete than the other two, but he doesn't completely break that mold either. And that, but that is not, neither one of those guys is anything like Frank Harris. And Barry Lunny had the senior, I can't remember his name all of a sudden. It's a French sounding name. He had the incoming quarterback at UTSA and he kind of bumped him aside for Frank Harris, who's a 6 foot, 200 pound athlete who, you know, who can also throw accurately. And that's not Donovan Leary. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks for that. Thanks for that description. There's a lot of people who just haven't broke down the film like you, and now they've got an idea of what to look at if they want to go out and do a little bit of research. Matt, why don't you take us home on this?
My only counter to what Steve said, and I think he accurately put it out there about UTSA's offense and what Barry and Jeff Traylor were able to do to transform that program into what it is now. I would argue that the Allen brothers at Arkansas with what Brett and Looney and Dan Enos had, that's like the Leary brothers, like Devin sure. and Donovan.
Yeah, good point.
And I would also say that that's like Tommy DeVito. I mean, the two things about the problems I had with Donovan Leary coming out of high school was his feet. It wasn't anything else. And I think that that's simply just getting into a college system and being able to learn some things and being able to, you know, do some things, because the high school system that he was, not system, the high school talent that he had around him was nothing like his older brother had at the same high school program. And it's unfortunate, but he had to basically carry them to the 3 or 4 wins a year that he was able to get to. And it's unfortunate that that happened. And I think that the family has been very adamant that that's the case. I think it's Timber Creek High School in New Jersey. It's not the same. They've gone through a coaching transition when Donovan became the starting quarterback, and it's not the same deal. So I wouldn't worry so much about that. I haven't heard from anybody in his camp, but I haven't heard bad things about anything in this regard. I know for a fact that Tommy DeVito has been wanting to run a pro-style offense and get back under center and do some of the things that he did in high school. And he's tired of sitting back in the spread and doing these RPO stuffs and just getting absolutely pummeled, standing back in the shotgun. So I think that they're thrilled about this move. What I would say to Illinois fans that are kind of trying to figure out what this is going to be about, this is about, on day one, what Brett Bielema talked about, which is complementary football. We need to have an offense that can complement the defense that I intend to put on the field every day, and a passing game that can complement the run game that I intend to bank on every single year. And I think that that's part of what Barry's being brought in here to do. And I think that they have a plan in order to do it. The one thing that I question, and I always question these statements that are in these press releases, but Brett's statement included that Barry has a system that he likes to run. Okay. I'm not really sure, like, his system is the UTSA system, though. I think Jeff Traylor brought that from Texas high school. And quite frankly, when 95% of the Texas, and Mike, you're familiar with this, when 95% of the Texas high schools now run an RPO spread offense,
yep,
you have to run basically that in Texas. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to recruit anybody. And so I think he has a mix, smorgasbord bag of stuff that he can go to transform this Illinois offense. But I don't believe that Illinois is going to sit back and start running like Ohio State's Ryan Day offense of an RPO type, throw it 60 times a game and, you know, hand it to the running back flat footed anymore. I don't think that's going to be how this works, but I do think that Brett has figured out on the offensive side with guys like Bart Miller, guys like George McDonald, and now guys like Barry Lunny Jr., I need to have a familiarity of what those guys are, how to work with them, and what their style is. I can't just bring in somebody who I've never worked with before and make it think like this offense is going to work. I might be able to do that on the defensive side because I have a defensive background as a former defensive coordinator and an NFL defensive mind, but I can't do that on the offensive side. And I think that Bielema has figured that out, and I think that he has now a group of guys, and I don't think it's going to be just Barry transforming this offense. I think he has a group of guys that are going to try to work together now and make sure that Illinois puts up enough points that they can start playing postseason games.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you guys getting together here on a Saturday to kind of talk a little bit about Barry Lunny Jr. Taking over the reins of the Fighting Illini offense as offensive coordinator. I think this is the type of move that differentiates big boy football from what Illinois used to be doing, whatever we want to call that. In the old days, it was stay away from the NCAA, operate in the black, and please be competitive with no definition for what competitive is. In today's world, I think there's going to be the expectation that you are going to have a plan on how you are going to win and be successful in a very, very competitive Big Ten. And if you are not winning, then you need to make adjustments to make sure that you are winning. So that's what a business does. And to be honest with you, if you're a professor and you're not able to get the result, you know, your students aren't getting the results when they graduate, it would be very similar to that. As far as I'm concerned, this is the way Illinois athletics should work. And I am very happy with the direction that they're taking right now. If you want more coverage like this, there is going to be a lot more on the hiring of the offensive coordinator on IlliniGuys.com. Matt will have a couple feature stories over the next couple of days regarding this. Steve is going to be breaking down film. Now, he's already got a head start on that because Steve is very prepared, but we're going to have him doing a spotlight as well. So there's going to be plenty, coming out. If you want to read about that, of course, we've got the Fighting Illini basketball team going to play Tuesday night. So a game coming up, we'll be covering that like a blanket. IlliniGuys.com, a free 7-day trial. Please go out and give us a try. Go back into our message boards and our forums, and I don't think you will ever go anywhere else for your Illini news. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com is your place for Illini sports. Also, tune in to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. It's a weekly 2-hour radio show. Go to IlliniGuys.com, look at the radio tab, and you can see where the 25 stations are in the state of Illinois that are broadcasting our show and what time it's on. Please take a chance to go ahead and listen to that. And if you enjoy it, call up the radio station and let them know. With that, this is Mike Kegley, and I'm thanking Matt Stevens and Steve Sturm for their contributions. Have a great day, everybody.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.